A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on? It's Champagne Pappy back here once again on the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Champagne Pappy. I'm joined by Champagne Luke.
I'm Scrambled Eggs Pappy.
I'm Big Don Energy. That's what I am.
There's a really funny guy on Instagram called Big Ghost.
Big Ghost.
And he calls him, he's got some absolute, he's really funny. He does hilarious, in-depth, and actually very, very good reviews of mostly hip-hop and R&B albums. I find him. He calls himself some absolutely brilliant names. I wonder if he's still got it up on his Twitter. I'll find it now. He hasn't got it. But he calls himself Big Ghost, a.k.a. Shampoo Bracelets.
Shampoo Bracelets.
a.k.a. Cocaine Biceps. He's just got so many of them.
It sounds like that four-word app that we used earlier on.
But Pete, you are podcast game Drake.
Yeah. I'm a bit wet. And nobody seems to know why people like him.
But his reviews of Drake are absolute, because he basically hates Drake.
Yeah. And I don't really understand the mania over Drake, because he is a bit wet, isn't he? He's a bit...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't really understand it. He sort of blends rap and R&B and all that, and just kind of doesn't really...
But he says, and his review is Big Ghost. He's one of the best music writers out there. He's brilliant. I read his stuff all the time. And in his review of Drake records, he basically spends like 3 or 4 paragraphs just talking about the type of guy Drake is. And he's saying stuff like, this is a guy, kind of guy who sort of closes his eyes when he brushes his teeth. Kind of guy who's got like his heart's got a ponytail on it. Because like, he is so wet, isn't it? Yeah.
I can't understand. I can't remember what character. It was that Texas, not legislator, senator, who was an absolute prick. He reckoned he never wanked and stuff. And his
Ted Cruz. Yeah, yeah.
Ted Cruz. Somebody made a point. Ted Cruz is the sort of man who brushes his teeth and drinks orange juice and goes, ah.
Yeah.
it's the worst taste in the mouth ever.
But Big Ghost says about the Take Care, the Drake Take Care album cover artwork. He says, they give this guy a motherfucking goblet and a table for one with a candle and a bronze owl, and now he's running rap. Get the fuck out of here, B. Anyways, worth checking out. BigGhostLimited.com is.
Speaking of ghosts, did you see the Spanish right-wing fascist organization who basically had a problem with gay marriage and gay rights and gay pride? So they made this this logo for gay, like basically representing gay people. And it's this spooky ghost. With the rainbow flag basically sort of saying that, you know, they're a problem and they're horrible and they're ghostly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looked fucking adorable, Luke. It looked so adorable. It looked like something out of Super Mario.
Share it. Share it on the Twitter. Big Ghost does a track-for-track review of Take Care as well, and he says, one of the songs, he says, I don't even know what to say to this. After hearing this shit, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy could pollinate a flower with his fucking breath. Oh, good. How you going? It's Monday. How you doing? You okay? You well?
All right, yeah. Keeping out of trouble.
I don't really like Drake either. I don't really get it. I can't believe it's taken.
I like that song about his telephone. But other than that,
because of the dank memes it inspired. That's why.
No, I just like this. I just like the tune. The tune's good. But yeah, just I don't really understand the.
I like that song he did that went apple bottom jeans boots with the fur.
Oh, we're so old. We are so old.
How you doing? How was your weekend? Pretty good.
Fine. Yeah, again, stayed out of trouble. Just didn't do much. Went out Friday. Then yeah, I'm getting that point where I'm like, oh, I can have a couple of weekends at home, and it's quite nice, because obviously we were in Lisbon, and I was in Cardiff, I'm going to be in Tokyo soon. I just need to sort of just chill. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, Cardiff.
Just need to relax.
One of Europe's capitals.
It certainly is.
How was Cardiff? We didn't talk about that.
It was good. Cardiff
is
very underrated.
We need to talk about Cardiff.
We need to talk about Cardiff. It was good. Stayed in the Mets house, who's going to be renting out as an Airbnb soon. And her house
is
mental.
Testing it.
She's got like, I was testing the waters.
You did a pilot.
I was piloting it. It was like, she's got this mad house. I just filled it with like all the stuff that I buy but never put on my wall. She's basically got on her wall just like all kinds of crazy stuff, paintings, and she's got like graffiti artists to go in like her bathroom and do this sort of graffiti sort of cartoon character of a toothpaste, a bottle of toothpaste, tube of toothpaste, squeezing his own kind of knob basically and pulling out.
It sounds very garish.
Pulling out reams of and it's sort of like squeeze it off, you know, put it in your mouth or something, and it's
sounds
like
very
squeezing
gauche.
Out bits of toothpaste. It is gauche, but in the finest possible way. And it's well worth Airbnb in the future when she puts it on there. It's really good.
You had a nice time.
I had a lovely time.
Who were you there with?
Cardiff was smashing. A friend from the northwest, Liverpool. A guy called Matthew Young, who I went to school with, and also a friend from school called Alex Gonzalez.
Oh, I know Alex, yeah, of course. You sent me a video of him playing the guitar at your house the other day.
Oh, yeah.
In what
I was a bit drunk.
Quite a bleak scene.
Why was it a bleak scene?
I don't know, just because it seemed quite sparse.
What do you mean? It's my front room.
But I thought you should be playing music, not having someone just plinking a guitar around.
Well, he was playing the guitar. I was playing the automaton, which is a Japanese instrument of torture in many ways.
It's not really an instrument, is it?
No.
It's like a toy, really.
It's like a non-Rolf Harris affiliated, what was that piece of machinery he used? There's not the zither,
a wobble
board. No, not the wobble board. He endorsed...
Oh, is it a stylophone?
Stylophone. It's like a stylophone, but it's got a little mouth on it.
Should you be mentioning Rolf Harris on this show?
Why not? He was a very gifted artist. I think we spoke about him a few weeks ago. We said the sort of people who buy Rolf Harris paintings, you know, and they're really gutted now. He's a convicted
He used to have almost a permanent exhibition in, I think, the West Quay Shopping Centre in Southampton.
Right.
So, yeah, can come back to bite you. Come back to haunt you. How would you rate Cardiff and the Great British Nights Out?
It was really good. I cannot recommend it enough. And I'm sure people who know Cardiff, that's not news to them, quite frankly. Again, beautiful Wetherspoons. Old theatre in the centre of town.
But I don't know.
Wetherspoons put themselves in such beautiful buildings.
I accept that King sponsor of Brexit, Mr. Wetherspoons, does have some of his pubs situated in nice buildings.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to ask the question that a lot of our listeners will be asking. Why are you going all the way to Cardiff, go to Wetherspoons?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it's like, you know, I can't wait to go out for dinner in Turin and then go into a Pizza Hut. I mean, you can go to a Wetherspoons anywhere.
Yeah, but like booze places are just booze places. They're just, you know.
Is that right?
There's no romance.
So it doesn't matter where you go.
On a Friday night in Cardiff City Centre, try and find somewhere where you can have a fucking, you know, a mojito and a nice chat about politics. There's just not a place. It's just people just going, I'm going to go mental. It's just, that's just the place it is.
So you always go to a Wetherspoons wherever you go to a city?
No, I was just excited by the fact that it was in a beautiful theatre. Like the one on Holloway Road, which is very nice. An old Art Deco theatre. Beautiful. Or cinema, rather.
There's one up in, Muswell Hill, which is like an old massive converted church. It might not be a Wetherspoons actually, but it's amazing.
I don't know why they haven't done it in Hartlepool. We've got this old cinema called The Odeon. Crazy name, huh? And it's this beautiful Art Deco cinema, and I don't know what kind of state of disrepair it's in now, but it is gigantic, and it's like one of the biggest buildings in Hartlepool, and it's not been open since about 1982. I can't remember a time when it was ever open in my lifetime, and it's just gone to rot. I'd very much like to walk around that building. If anyone from Hartlepool is listening, then get me in that building.
You can get in there. You're a celebrity there. You do what you want.
It's an abandoned building.
You and Jeff Stelling, get up there. Just go wherever you want. a genuine question here. Given that you know the...
I reckon Jeff Stelling was from a posh house.
Do you?
I reckon he's from good breeding. I reckon
Are you saying that you weren't?
There's very few times in my life where I can sort of say I'm legitimately from dirt. But if you look at the houses that I used to live in, I'm from dirt.
I haven't asked how your parents are. Are they okay?
All right, yeah. My mum's got a bad tooth. That's about it. That's all we got.
What happened?
That's all we got. She thought she was going in to get a crown put back on because it fell off, and the guy just went, I'm getting rid of that tooth, and pulled it straight out.
Oh.
Probably the best situation, because you don't want to be hanging around waiting for a dental procedure, do you?
Well, I guess
it's a bit miserable, isn't it? Yeah.
Depends how many other teeth you've got. If it was your last one, you might not be very
she
happy.
She keeps on giving me the guilt trip about not going up to see me niece. And, you know, She's got legs, hasn't she? She might only be 2 years old. She can get on a train.
How many times
she?
Have you been to see her this year? Calendar year?
This calendar year?
Yeah.
Zero. Saw her at Christmas.
Not enough, is
it? Saw her at Christmas.
That's a massive part of her life. She's two. That's almost a quarter of her life you haven't seen her before.
What can I do?
Go
I'm
up
busy.
There.
I'm busy.
Not go to Cardiff.
I'm busy.
You go to Cardiff on the Cardiff. Piss, but you can't go see your own niece.
She doesn't want to go on the piss.
Nobody does. What was that noise?
A little spring on my, microphone arm went...
Have you got a special mic? Pete, can I ask a genuine question? This is not meant to be a political statement.
Right.
For anyone listening. Okay. We welcome anyone, providing their views aren't genuinely problematic. Mm. The guy who runs Wetherspoons is so vocal about Brexit. Does it make...
To the point of his...
He puts beer mats in the pub and everything.
Isn't it mad though?
Does that not give you pause for thought any point before you go in there?
No, well, it's just a necessity in that point. I'm not a big Wetherspoons rawny kind of guy. And I would rather go somewhere else, but we have on occasion dirtied our boots.
The reason I ask is purely because a lot of people who do public facing businesses will I think sensibly stand back from taking a political stance on anything publicly because I think it's going to alienate a lot of their customers potentially on such a divisive issue, which is literally 52-48.
I think Wetherspoons probably has the ear of the older man, certainly, which certainly skews one way, don't they? Do you not think it kind of fits their kind of thing? But also massively chinning. If you walk into Wetherspoons, most people are from Eastern Europe who are working there, and you're like, you are chinning yourself off massively here. Very bizarre behaviour from any company that probably doesn't pay a living wage. They are chinning themselves off massively because
I think he's a maniac. That guy. He's got mad staring eyes. I think he might be a proper maniac.
I bet he knows loads of members of Queen.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. His body and his hair and the way he dresses.
Who would he be mates with? Brian May, for sure.
I don't know.
No, Brian May's like really, really environmentally conscious, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, but has the guy from Wetherspoons really gone one way or the other with that one? I don't know. He's not really sort of made it clear about
the old badger cult.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a cause célèbre for Brian May, wasn't it? Roger Taylor? Friends of Roger Taylor, do you reckon?
Well, Petr Cech's friends with Roger Taylor.
That's true.
I think Petr Cech...
What's your Venn diagram?
Well, Petr Cech's...
Would Freddie Mercury be Brexit?
From he's foreign, isn't he? What?
Freddie Mercury wouldn't be Brexit, would he?
No. I mean, it'd be a bit rich. He was Greek, wasn't he?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What musicians?
I reckon most like musicians, like from Kurt Cobain...
Roger Daltrey's massively Brexit.
Oh, he's massively, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Every man who wants to keep his own tax, who wants less tax... will be right wing. Everyone turns right wing. I'm sure it'll happen to us.
You might as well, when they ask them questions about this kind of stuff, you might as well just change the question to, you got a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to keep that money? Yeah.
Do you want the kids to inherit that money?
Yeah, they all just turn into like a kind of rock and roll, old, weird trouser wearing version of Scrooge McDuck.
And it happens everywhere. Look at Morrissey. He's wearing fucking Britain First.
Oh, he's completely lost it.
But you talk to any journalist who spoke to him back in the day, he still had those views. But because we have this very tidy kind of idea of what a thoughtful rock star thinks.
I don't think so, because I think he was really, he's always been hugely animal rights, right?
Yeah, but he's always been a bit weird with his things. He's been very, very forthright and strange about the things he talks about. He's always been Alan Rice, but he's also always been a cunt.
So he's been, I think that's probably an open secret, certainly in the music industry, but he was seen wearing a For Britain party badge, right? Mm. Which are an extremely right-wing political movement. Mm. They're sort of right fringe. Of Britain First, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're fringe. They are fringe.
Fringes of society.
Fringe out.
But yeah, Roger Daltrey is Brexit. Mm. Pete Townsend was stood next to him when Roger Daltrey was talking about Brexit. So Pete Townsend, if anything, is friendly fire. He's been taken down as well.
He's got bigger problems. Yeah. I told you before on the show when the Who played the Super Bowl quite recently, because he's a registered sex offender. People who lived around the Super Bowl thing had to have a leaflet delivered through the door saying,
"Is that
there
true?
There is a sex offender in because every time a sex offender comes with a visa or works in a certain town or resides for a few days in a certain town, leaflets get put through in certain states. get put through the letterbox of people who live around the stadium. Well, in this case, around the stadium, basically saying there's a man, and the picture they use is him on stage doing a fucking cartwheel.
Was it?
Doing a big
the windmill.
Big fucking windmill. This man is a sex offender. He's called Pete Townsend, and this is what he looks like.
It looks like
for the Super Bowl. For the fucking Super Bowl.
He's magnificent. Apparently he was put on the sex offenders register in 2003.
He's just writing a book. He's just writing a book,
despite,
mate.
The best ever excuse he used was something. This has been reported in the Telegraph. He said he paid for child pornography to prove that British banks were complicit in channeling profits for paedophile rings.
Yeah. Write that on Twitter before you. Before
one of those
indulge.
Weird situations where it's not a laughing matter, but as you've just proved, it is a laughing matter as well. It's hard to sort of know where you stand on that kind of thing.
No one wins.
Because that is funny.
That is funny. It's funny that...
What you just said about the leaflets is funny.
Yeah. I think questioning people's interests in things, it's always just like... It's like fascists nowadays. They're obsessed with paedophile gangs, paedophile rings, but only paedophile rings that are in the Asian community.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're... like, and this,
you care about children, probably start with the Catholic Church. Because... That's worldwide.
That's way more systematic.
That is way more systematic. Unquestionably, the biggest child abuse ring in the history of human beings. Start there. Maybe they're thinking this is too big a project. We've got to build up to it.
Yeah,
we haven't got the resources.
Start on the DIY Asian like Midlands sort of scene, and then we'll move up to.
You can't just be John from Bolton in a pair of cheap jeans and go arrest the fucking Pope. You have to build up to it. I can't get near the Pope.
Oh, yeah, God.
That's so transparent.
It's curious.
So obviously transparent.
Curious.
That's all they talk about, isn't it?
Yeah.
This idea of Muslim grooming gangs, completely ignoring the fact that the Catholic Church are guilty of such bad stuff.
Or just all the other grooming gangs, to be honest. If you're that bothered about it, talk about the other stuff as well.
Email hello@lukeandpeacher.com if you
want a free Tommy Robinson.
Anything to say on that?
Oh, I'm loving that milkshake trope. Yaxley Lennon getting a milkshake in the face every time. Why is there so many milkshakes kicking around?
The one social media site that Tommy Robinson, aka Stephen Yaxley Lennon, is
allowed to be on,
able to use.
Right, okay.
I forget what it's called. He referred to the guy. I'm probably going to get this wrong, and I'm not on that social media, so I can't find it.
Right,
but he commented about it, right? He posted a screenshot and then did a little thing about it. And he kept referring to him as Milkshake Man.
Milkshake Man.
That's quite nice. Like he's
the Milkshake Man.
Some kind of superhero. Anyway, before we go to the break, because I know you've got the iPad out there, I just wanted to say, did you see that Avengers Endgame has now turned out to be, after 2 weekends of release, it's now overtaken Titanic in terms of global ticket sales. It's taken in £1.75 billion, whereas Titanic took in £1.68 billion.
If it's adjusted for inflation, I think Titanic still edges it. But
I think.
I mean, you're going to go on the figures,
aren't
you?
But it was quite nice. James Cameron posted a picture of the Titanic being sunk.
Going, fuck off.
going, if this fucking ship hadn't sank, could have done a sequel. No, and the iceberg is the Avengers
logo.
You've probably seen it. And he wrote quite a nice message
saying
to Kevin and everybody at Marvel, an iceberg sank the real Titanic. It took the Avengers to sink mine. We all salute your amazing achievement. You've shown that the movie industry is not only alive and well, it's bigger than ever. And I know that's a traditional thing to pass the baton along. But in the, I think it's been done in the past. In the 80s, it did it when they're all sort of pals with each other. I think Jaws did one where they did a poster when I think it was Star Wars maybe that overtook Jaws. Anyway, the thing I wanted to bring to the table, which I found fairly interesting, is that Steven Spielberg said that back in the 1970s, obviously he was friends with George Lucas and he still is.
Yeah.
Back in the 1970s, George Lucas was so nervous that Star Wars would be a box office dud. That when he visited the set of Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which had been filmed around the same time, he was so convinced that that was going to be a massive hit and not Star Wars, and he thought he'd dropped a bollock. So, I can't believe there's two science fiction movies being released at the same time. It's going to be a nightmare. You're Steven Spielberg. I'm fucked. That he there and then offered to swap 2.5% of Star Wars for 2.5% of Close Encounters, which Steven Spielberg accepted. And to date, Steven Spielberg is $40 million up on that deal.
That's wonderful. That's like Alec Guinness taking figure rights rather than money.
Yes. Yeah.
Just, oh, that is a bet.
So he took points on the merch rather than a fee.
Incredible.
I mean, he's dead now, but I mean, he probably probably got the most, made the most of it.
The story of, I was watching the story of Kevin Smith and Superman trying to get that his Superman off the ground, and obviously Nicolas Cage was in the frame. And
some great screenshots of that.
Who's the guy who directed Edward Scissorhands? I've literally interviewed him.
Tim Burton. Yeah,
he was obviously in the frame and stuff, and he was on like a deal that if it didn't happen, he still got all of his money that he would have had if he directed it. What a sweet deal! What a sweet deal!
Yeah, there was a great story. I think it's Bob Hoskins. He was asked to, he was cast in quite a big movie.
Right.
He tells a story himself. I know he's passed away now, but he told a story in a chat show where he was cast in a big movie. I forget which movie it was. And then the detail, I was going to be sketchy, but it's not important. And he was preparing for the role. And I think Robert De Niro became available. So the casting director and the director ring up Bob Hoskins and said, "Look, I know we've cast you for this role, but
it's good to talk."
But you're tied up in those BT adverts. So do you mind? They said, "Look, thank you very much for agreeing to do it, and thanks for reading for the part. And I know you've been in the middle of your preparation, and shooting doesn't start for a while, but Robert De Niro's available. I'm sorry to bring this. Yeah, we would like to go with him instead. Do you mind stepping aside, and you can still have your fee?" And he was like, "Yeah, fucking great." And he said in the chat show interview, something along the lines of, every time he sees Robert De Niro, he's like, "Oh, appreciate that. You got any more films you fancy doing? Because I'm happy to you do all mine if you want." So yeah, I think he got paid a good amount of money for
there's
that.
There's a lovely video of him going around. I can't remember who he's leading around London, but it's kind of like in the 70s, I think. And he's just basically showing the, not really gentrification, but like he's just showing how horrible like tower blocks and businesses are sort of coming up in London. He's sort of taking them around like South Bank, sort of going, "Look at this. This used to be a school. And he knocked it down 3 years ago and he ain't built it yet. And what they're going to do is they're going to build this big tower block. It's going to blot out the fucking sun. And up and down the Thames, he's got these horrible bloody big buildings." And obviously these horrible bloody big buildings are being built now. And he's sort of going, "Oh, Bob Hoskins really didn't like modern brutalist architecture."
It's actually quite a good impression.
Ah! Although, Bob Hoskins.
When was this set? This video,
70s, I think.
Right,
basically talking about how ugly the new buildings are.
Well, God rest him.
God rest him.
He's now left. He's now left this veil of tears, as Danny Kelly would say. Let's take a little break and come back, and we'll do some emails. We've got to hoover up a lot of these emails because they've been coming in their droves.
It's good to hoover.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot, maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, "Yeah, I've had a good life, right?"
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that. you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Julian Assange there.
The word succulent, it's just, it comes out of nowhere.
It doesn't, it's not appropriate for a Chinese. Succulent is something like a succulent peach or a steak.
Yeah.
It seems, no, succulent is juicy, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you had like a bit, if you started, he has to be very specific. Now says, I'm starting with a duck entree.
Yeah.
I'm starting with like a quarter of a duck. That's succulent.
Would you describe your weekly Sunday night order as succulent?
No. Glistening. Yeah. A glistening salty Chinese meal.
Well, for your if you're listening at home, for your identification of the word succulent, how you would describe succulent as a word, hello@lukeandpeacher.com. You can email in about that. You can email in about anything you've heard today, or indeed anything that takes your fancy.
Yeah, if you want me, like, if you need like a voice actor for a film that Robert De Niro can't do, I am very good at a Bob Hoskins, so
give us another example.
This is basically just me trying to get into a...
Find an email and do it as Bob Hoskins.
They're all long ones, so I wouldn't...
All right, shall I do one while you're looking for one?
Yeah, go on.
This is from Fergus, who says, Dear Leighton Puke, keep up the good work. I love this show. And back in the very early days, you mentioned a previous email I'd sent referencing a YouTube channel which showcased large outdoor marble runs.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, this email is not marble related, but hopefully as enjoyable. Your recent chat about the Cardiff Giant in the USA, it's a while back now, but I think people will remember that, and the display by rampant opportunist P.T. Barnum of a fake version reminded me of a real but moderately apocryphal figure from Scotland and Canada, Angus McCaskill.
Angus McCaskill.
Supposedly the largest human ever recorded who did not have gigantism.
Oh.
At 7'7" in the 19th century, he was obviously a remarkable figure, and it was claimed he did such stuff as lifting ship's anchors and small boats, being rewarded for his massiveness by Queen Victoria, and even working for the aforementioned Mr. Barnum. Ooh. The definition of a gentle giant, he was known in his Nova Scotia home as Big Boy. Give him a Google. There's one actual photo with him with another normal-sized guy for scale. That's from Fergus in Kirkintilloch, which is a beautiful... name for a Scottish town.
Wasn't he in...
he's got his own Wikipedia, Angus Outcast. McCaskill. Yeah, he was. The 1981 Guinness Book of Records says he's the tallest non-pathological giant in recorded history at 7'7" and had the largest chest measurement of any non-obese man. How many inches do you reckon his chest was? I'll give you some scale. Mine's 42.
Right, okay. 55.
80.
Bloody hell.
80-inch chest.
I mean, that's just impressive. That's just like, you know when you see like big wrestlers like Big Show or the Great Khali, you sort of go, Jesus Christ. Yeah. But I think they'd have gigantism or they had certain valves that went wrong in them, their bodies.
So it can sometimes be the pituitary gland, can't it? Which is part of it. Anyway, thanks for getting in touch about
Good work.
That. He did indeed enter P.T. Barnum Circus in 1849, apparently, appearing next to General Tom Thumb, who everyone
little
will
boy.
Know about, the dwarf. Who achieved fame through P.T. Barnum. Queen Victoria loved him and invited him to appear and give a demonstration at Windsor Castle, after which she proclaimed him to be the tallest, stoutest and strongest man to ever enter this palace.
And I will fuck him.
Emasculating every other man in the room. And she presented him with two gold rings in appreciation. And that is where the Lord of the Rings myth comes from.
What do you mean? As in... really? No.
No.
No. No. Okay.
Just made that up.
Yeah. Well, I just imagined her taking a like a bracelet off her arm and putting it on one of his fingers, his gigantic fingers.
Yeah.
I do declare.
A necklace, taking her necklace off and putting it around his little...
A crown. Pop on right on his finger. It'll be lovely. Cole. Is he in her, Cole? Below an email
do it like
by
Bob Hoskins.
Hello, lads.
Listening to episode 166 and the talk of childhood games reminded me of a funny story from when we were kids. First of all, the game Knock, Door, Run, or whatever you call it, was called Happy Chappy in Glasgow in the west
happy
of Scotland.
Happy Chappy?
Are you a Happy Chappy?
Amazing.
Hey, kids, have you been playing Happy Chappy?
He's telling me it's against us.
We used to play hide and seek all the time as well, but we all also called it by a funnier and far more offensive name. One day while we were playing, my youngest brother Stephen was getting called home by my mum because it was getting late. He was around about 6 or 7 at the time. It was always annoying when you had like a younger sibling who had to go in earlier than you because they were a couple of years younger. So I do wonder how they figured out the rules on that one. My mum told me he had to go in the house, but my brother pleaded with her to be allowed to stay out and finish the game. What are you playing? My mum asked, to which he replied without understanding what the words meant. We're playing Hunt the Cunt, which you'll agree is a charming name for hide and seek. Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's every second word up there.
I bet you got grounded for that.
My mum, stunned, allowed him to carry on before closing the door and falling about laughing. Again, Scotland. Later, after my mum and dad laughed about it for a while, he explained to him what he said was a naughty word and shouldn't be said again, especially in public. Cheers, Colt. Now, I love the idea of a six-year-old shouting C words.
I got grounded for a week once because I sort of fell over when putting my jeans on.
Yeah.
And said, oh, fuck's sake. And I'd been about, probably would have been about 12.
Right.
My sister was in the next room. She was only 7.
She tattled, did she?
And so, but my mum was walking past and she was like, right, that's out of order. Your sister could have heard that. You're grounded for a week, which I think is a severe penalty.
Yeah, for an F word, yeah.
For one F word.
Well, especially because, like, she doesn't mind you saying it by the sounds of things. She just doesn't want you saying it in front of the.
Yeah.
The sister.
Yeah. By the way, we had a few people email in about your game Block.
Right, okay, yeah, we had a few of those, yeah.
Yeah, Craig emailed in saying...
I couldn't see the wood for the trees for these emails, to be honest. I couldn't sort of figure out what was the most prescient.
We've gone from famine to feast. Craig's email said they played the same game, but they called it Rescue.
Rescue.
And he also said that there was another game. I can't find it. It doesn't matter. But check out my by far the most impressive of these invented games comes from a guy called Luke who emails in saying, after the most recent episode and your chat of games we used to play as children, I had a flashback to a game we used to play, which we very possibly invented, called Knifey.
Knifey.
And I have to say, when I read that first sentence, I thought this is going to go one way. But the setup for this interestingly named game, says Luke, was to firstly find a large, sturdy tree based on a grassy slope. The next step was to find some of the classic plasticky blue rope and a good seat stick to tie on the best branch, making sure the seat was around 1 foot off the ground.
Right.
Have you read this email?
No.
Then someone had to go and nick a butter knife from their house and basically take it in turns of sticking the knife in the ground in the most difficult position for the next person to attempt to retrieve and replace in their allotted 4 swings. If you are unable to retrieve the knife in your swings or place it in the ground before your swings are up, you're out.
Right.
During the 6 weeks holidays, many of us became absolute pros at this game, demonstrating crazy acrobatic placements and retrievals. I'd love to know if anyone else ever played it. I'm originally from Leeds, and that's where I lived when we played, but I now live in Basingstoke. I tell my friends about this game, and they look at me like I'm insane. Tig, Knock a Door, Run, and Kick the Van and Drop It were the names we used for the other games. Thanks and keep up the good stuff. That's Luke. I think it might be Kick the Can he's supposed to say, but that's a typo in there. But anyway, Knifey, never heard of it. Have you
no,
heard of it?
No.
Sounds good though.
We should get some tabards and play like in the park near the office, just play a big game of Block. Block sticker, 1, 2, 3. Can't hang around.
Remind us how it goes again, how you play it.
One person counts to 50 or whatever, everybody runs, and then that person has to go and find the other people. And when they find the other people, they've got to run back to.
How do you play it in a field? There's nowhere to hide.
There'll be lots of places to hide. Have you on a tree? Have some invention.
All right. So
wear a ghillie suit.
That field over there.
Yeah.
It's got about 10 trees in it.
Yeah.
I think I'll know where I'm looking.
I'll be on one of them.
I'll know where I'm looking.
There's an ice cream van. There's people's houses.
People are going to talk, but you're 38. You can't be hanging around ice cream vans hiding.
Why must
it's
you
Pete
ruin...
Townsend again, isn't
why
it?
Why must you
You're going to get leaflets put through the door.
Why must you ruin my game of Block?
Why can't we have nice things? Listen, have you played nice have you played Knifey or any other childhood game, you want to tell us about it, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We're out of it. That's the end of our our show this time around.
Our hustle.
Thank you so much if you've got in touch. Thank you for listening. Do leave us a review on iTunes or as they call it now, Apple Podcasts.
Oh, do they?
Apparently so, yeah. No, you'll get the memo. It's Apple Podcasts now, mate. Pete, I'll see you again next time around.
Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.